Amen. We have the privilege to continue as we consider our broad subject of discussion for this season that speaks about the commission of the church. We began by looking at Matthew chapter number 28 last Sunday, and today we're looking at the gospel according to St. Mark, still looking at the second part of our discussion that says the power for the commission. And it's important that we understand part of what we said last week, that perhaps one of the reasons why some of us are not getting the results that we are expected to get, we're not getting the soul that we're expected to get, we're not achieving the target that God wants us to achieve when it comes to Great Commission, is because we are doing the message without the authority. And remember, we said, and it's very clear in Scripture, Matthew chapter 28, when you have time, read it from verse number 16 down to verse number 20. Jesus speaking clearly said, all authority has been given to me. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then he said, go therefore, which means as a result of this power, go. Amen. Then it says, make disciples and teach them everything that I've been teaching you and all of that. We're going to break that down in detail next discussion. But I want you to understand that every position has an authority to back it. And you cannot operate successfully in any position without the authority behind that position. For example, you know the reason why a 21-year-old police officer will be able to arrest you. It's not because he's stronger than you. Mm-hmm. Amen? Amen? But it's because he has a uniform on, yes, that has the government that he represents behind him. Yeah. So you mess around with a 21-year-old, even if you're a 91-year-old, you go to jail for it. Amen. Not because he's smarter or anything, but because he has authority. And we're in the season where we're paying taxes. IRS will take your money whether you're happy or not. Yes. Amen, somebody. Amen. Not because of anything, but because they had the authority to do it. So every opposition operates by authority. Amen. Amen. So as a child of God, you need to know what authority you have, so that when you operate rightly. Even in the home, as parents, God has given us a certain level of authority. Part of the crisis we have in the home is that many parents are not using their authority properly. Okay, some of you are not talking to me anymore. I just got started. Or some of you don't even know that you have authority. Therefore, you say one thing, your child says five things, and you keep quiet. You begin a crisis right there, when there is no boundary between a parent and a child. Nobody says you should be a tyrant. A child should have a right to express themselves, but they need to have that right within a certain boundaries. Amen. 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 Okay, I'm waiting for another amen.
Amen.
So God created the world and placed authority in order for safety and for security and for proper functioning. So he gave us the Great Commission and gave us the authority with which to function with it. So we can speak and people will hear us and people will respond. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Very quickly, let me clarify that there's a difference between the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. What is the Great Commandment? Thank you for asking. The scripture that clearly tells us about the Great Commandment Matthew chapter number 22, verse number 36. I don't can have that on the screen. If not, I can begin to read. Somebody came and asked. He said, Jesus, he's a teacher now. He said, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And in verse number 37, everybody let's go. 37, go. 37, can we go back there, please? Okay, we're reading now. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Next verse. This is the first and the greatest commandment. So the commandment is to love God for us and one another. Give me the next verse. It said, on... Why are you going back? Verse 38. Come on. No, go back to 38. This is the first and the great commandment. Now go to verse 39. And the second is like to it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Everybody say the great commandment. So the great commandment is to love God first. Everybody say love God first. And then love your neighbor. Amen. So the order is make God the number one in your life. And it is when you put God in his proper position, that's when you can love your neighbor, and that's when you can love yourself. The Bible does not say you should not love yourself. It didn't say that. It said love God first. Love your neighbor and love others. Somebody say J-O-Y means Jesus, others, and yourself. Yeah, that's why joy. When you have joy, joy means Jesus, others, and yourself. Put yourself last. Deuteronomy chapter number 6, verse 1 to 7. We're not reading. You can write that down. I think I have that in your note. That is the Old Testament background for the great commandment. The scripture clearly says, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God. And then he goes ahead and spells it down. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And all of the other ones. You can take that off. We're going to the next one quickly. So I want you to understand there's a difference between the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. We'll take time to examine the Great Commandment at some point. But then what is the Great Commission? Matthew chapter number 28, verse number 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Next verse quickly. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Next verse. Okay, everybody reading this now. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Now we're getting to what the Great Commission is. Next verse. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. So what is the great commandment? Is our love. What is the great commission? Is to go. Can we say that together? The great commission is to do what? To go. The great commandment is to love. Both of them are connected because they all link us to the God who we serve. And you might be interested to find out the Great Commission, like I shared with you last Sunday, actually has its background in Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 26 through 28. Again, I'm not reading that, but I give you a summary of that. Remember, when God created man, the scripture said he gave him authority over the entire earth. He says, go have dominion, have control over the earth. So God created us and loaded us. Amen. I said he created us and did what? Loaded us. He equipped us to function. Many of you have bought new computers. You know that many computers come not loaded. They have the ability to take in all kinds of stuff, but you have to take it to Staples or to some of those other companies to put in some of the things that you want.
Yes.
And sometimes the loading of it costs a lot more. Mm-hmm. But then they tell you a computer costs $400, you'd be like, really, $400? But wait, it's an empty piece. You have to buy your operating system, buy this, buy that, buy that, buy that. By the time you put that together, it's $1,300. And you go, whoa. But when God created us, guess what he did? He loaded us. Tell your neighbor, for me, you are loaded. So we can operate from the point at which God wanted us to operate from the very beginning. And this is the purpose of this discussion. That when you get saved, the Spirit of God ignites what God has put in you, the authority that is inside of you, so you can function there. So I'm praying today in the name of Jesus that every single one of us will begin to function at the level that God wants us to function.
Amen.
I'm waiting for another amen for that.
Amen.
You see, for so long, many of us have been functioning below our capacity. We were supposed to rule and dominate.
Yes.
But religion tells us something else. Even though the word of God is very clear on what God says to us. Let's get to our passage today. Mark's Gospel chapter number 6 gives us a few interesting outline. So what are the things that we need to note regarding the Great Commission? If I want to participate in the Great Commission, what do I need to know? What do I need to know? Number one is in your note. Operate from your place of rebirth and not the place of your birth. Like who? Jesus. What do I mean by operate from the place of your rebirth? The place of your rebirth is the place of your salvation. You all understand that as a child of God, we are all born how many times? Twice. We are born naturally, and we must be born again in order to see or to enter the kingdom of God. That you already know, is that right? So the place that God wants you to operate from, if you are going to participate effectively in the Great Commission, not from the place of where you were born naturally, but operate from the place of your rebirth. Even though a lot of people still be looking at you as an old person, because you are the same person, has the same name, but you are a new person. Somebody say, I am a new person. Come on, say it with confidence. Say, I'm a new person. In the name of Jesus. Now let me show you what the scripture says. Verse number 1, Mark chapter number 6. Let's go quickly. The scripture tells us of what happened in that passage. Everybody read it now. Let's go quickly. He said that he went out from there and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. Verse number 2. The scripture now said, and when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished. Watch this now. Watch this. What were they saying? From where has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that even such mighty works? They were like, really? We know this boy. Talking about Jesus now. Amen, somebody. Now people will look at you with the eye of the old, but you are new.
Amen.
Somebody say, I am new. Say it again. In the name of Jesus, where God wants you to operate from, it's not how people are looking at you, but how God looks at you.
Amen.
They're going, where did he learn this from? We knew him. We changed his pampers. Little boy running around here a few years ago. Now look at him. He's operating with authority, and great works are manifesting through him. In the name of Jesus, you will operate from the place of power.
Amen.
Okay, that should say loud, amen.
Amen.
I say you will operate from a place of power.
Amen.
When you give your life to Jesus, The power in you is supposed to be ignited. Even though the people had an old concept of Jesus, the new Jesus showed up. And the Jesus in you will show up in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So God has called you and I to operate as representatives of the Great Commission. And if you read the next verse and the next verse, they began to even give us the names of his brothers, the names of his sisters, and all of that stuff. That scripture alone tells us that Jesus had siblings.
Amen?
Amen. I mean, some would want us to believe otherwise, but it's very clear in scripture that he has siblings. But the point here this morning, friends, is that don't wear a new name and act like the old person.
True.
Oh, I'm a Christian now. But everything you're doing is what you've been doing before. There has to be a difference, man.
Yes.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
You have to act differently. And one of the differences must be the place of authority, where you have a zeal, a yearning, a desire to see somebody else free from sin, free from the power of the devil. You were hanging out with a group of friends before. Getting saved doesn't mean you cut them all off, but it means that you now go back to them as the light and tell them about the Jesus that has changed you.
Amen.
If you used to hang out in the bar before and you still go back now after church and you still go to the bar and hang out and drink, there's a problem there. Number two, in order for us to operate properly as agents of the Great Commission, we must remember that you behave what you believe. Does that need any explanation? Okay, give me verse number three. Let's go quickly. Whatever you believe is what shows up in your behavior. Where did I get that from? Everybody read. What does it say? Verse number three. It said, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and of Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? Watch this now. And they were offended at him. Why? Because they believed he was doing something wrong. Their behavior showed it. Oh, I just did that. I didn't really believe that. Really? Usually it's the other way around. It's because you believed it, that's why you did it. Oh, I didn't mean to say that. I know, yeah, sometimes there's what they call a Freudian slip. But those who operate in that level, psychologists tell us that a Freudian slip is really a revelation of what was really in your heart. You just didn't want to let us know, but it slipped out. Of course, are there genuine mistakes? Yes. But the point, however, is this. Let your belief order your behavior. If you're a child of God, live like a child of God. Somebody say, in the name of Jesus,
from today,
my belief, my faith in Christ Jesus will control my behavior. That is what it's supposed to be, friends. Your belief is what you behave. So you need to make a conscious effort to let your belief be strong enough to influence what you how you behave. And we've said to you in this church again and again that information that is not applied does not bring transformation. It is only applied information that brings transformation. Okay, do we need to recite that? Everybody say, only applied information brings transformation. What does that mean? In simpler terms, it means if you heard something from the church, you read something in the Bible, and you don't apply it, it's not going to work. It does not work until you put it into practice. That's what it simply means. Because there are people who have a lot of knowledge, But their behavior doesn't show it.
Amen.
That shall not be you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Number three. What do I need to know? In order for me to participate in the Great Commission as God wants me to, change begins with faith, but is delivered by power. I can spend a lot of time working on this, but I want you to say that. Everybody say it again. Change begins with faith, but is delivered by power. Everybody say it one more time. Change begins with faith, but is delivered by power. You see, there are a lot of people that haven't changed. You know why? Because they don't have faith to believe in what they are hearing. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Give me the scripture here, why in verse number 4. I want everybody reading this now. Everybody as loud as you can. You say what? But Jesus said to them, a prophet is without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. You remember they were angry at him in the previous verse? Because they thought he was still a small boy. We knew when he was growing up here. Now he come to preach to us. Now he come to do what? Now, what was the outcome of that? Thank you for asking. Look at the next verse. Let's go. Verse number 5. Everybody read. He says what? And he could dare do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. Now, what that meant, friends, is this. Many people did not get healed in Jesus' hometown, even though Jesus was there. Why? They did not believe. Because they saw him when he was growing up. Because they knew his background. So he came now to say, I have come to bring light. And they go, yeah, right. I have come to bring healing. And they go, yeah, right. Do it somewhere, but here? Nah. Some of us are so immune, and I use that word intentionally, to faith, that it looks like nothing works for us. Because our mind is so set on, if I don't see it, I won't believe it.
Amen.
Nothing has changed in some people's hands. From today, things will begin to change in your hands.
Amen.
I say from today, things will begin to change in your hands. Because your faith will begin to be activated. The Bible says even Jesus couldn't heal them. Now tell me, friends, Jesus, who a lot of crowd came to, and for many of them who just speak the word, and a child who is sick and dying at home will get well. He comes to the town and people couldn't get healed. Remember the story of a man that was carried by 4 friends to the roof? Dying man! Jesus only spoke the word. The man got up, carried his man, and walked away. Remember a few Sundays ago we considered the story of the woman that had was bent over? Remember that story?
Yes.
Where the demon was sitting on her back for 18 years.
Yes.
All that Jesus did was spoke the word.
Amen.
And she straightened up.
Amen.
People had all those different conditions in Jesus' village. None of them got healed.
Amen.
Isn't that an irony? That Jesus that will go everywhere else and people will be healed, comes home. And nobody gets healed except for a few people. If you're going to participate in the Great Commission, God wants you to, in fact, the scripture says it, he wants you to be the first partaker of it.
Amen.
Why are things not changing in my hands? It's not because God has changed or God is no more on the throne. I need to check whether I truly believe what I'm reading, what I'm hearing. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Many of you know that it's even applied in the natural. Some of you, you will talk to people that you know here, people that you've been with, some of them people in your home, and they will look at you like a nobody. I pray they're not looking at you like that. But you go somewhere else, guess what? They bring their best dishes out for you. They give you the best chair. They give you the first choice.
Yes.
So you are treated like a king outside, and at home, they are treating you like, where you come from? They treated Jesus like that.
Yes.
But in the spiritual, friends, it's important that you operate by faith. What we are saying again is what? We say we must remember that change begins with what? Faith. Jesus had the power, but the people needed to have faith. Jesus would not impose his power on them. They needed to believe that he can do it. Then his power will work.
Amen.
We have had a few testimonies in this church. In fact, not a few, a number of testimonies, where some people will be sick, for example, and they grab the anointing oil.
Yes.
And they use it and they're healed. How many of you have had testimony in this church?
Yes.
But some people have gallons of anointing oil and it's not working. Why not? You will have people take communion in this place and they're getting better. That head is getting better. And people have taken communion in this place and they are not changing. Why not? It's the same communion, the same anointing, the same laying on of hands. But you need to bring your faith to the table. The power was available in Christ, but his people couldn't get healed. From today, in the name of Jesus, whatever is affecting your faith, I curse it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Because faithlessness is a robber. Faithlessness is a thief. Faithlessness is a tool in the hands of the enemy. And from today, faithlessness has no power over you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You must learn to believe the word of God. And then the power of God can work. I can't emphasize that enough. If Jesus couldn't help somebody, friends, who can help that person? I mean, he didn't send his disciples. We're going to see very soon he sent his disciples somewhere else. But he was there himself. Nothing changed. They came sick, and they went home sick. They came hungry, and they went home hungry. When Jesus could take 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, feed 5,000, they say, you do miracle? Where? Here? Never happened. Friends, you need to begin to work on your faith.
Yes.
Because that word opens the door for your elevation.
Amen.
And from today, you will not remain low.
Amen.
I say from today, you will not remain low.
Amen.
You'll be elevated in your faith.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. You see, he couldn't do anything. But next point, we're talking about what do we need to do? What can we do in order to participate? No, I think I want to read verse number 5 because I think that I'm verse number 6. I think that's very important. Give me verse number 6 quickly. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. Let's read again. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Just that phrase. Even Jesus was shocked. He knew people have unbelief, but this one was a bigger level. You're like, whoa. People can doubt like this. People can.